Hey Church, welcome to the service today. Glad you can get there online. To help everyone feel a bit more connected, why not take a photo of how you're doing church today, send it in to Facebook or email so we can share it with everyone, see how everyone's still connected and how God's church is still going strong. If you're new here, jump on the contact page, fill in the details. We'd love to be in contact with you so we can help you during this time become a part of the church family. Continue to be worshiping and praising God through this time. I know it could be difficult, but we really need to make sure we're continuing to read His word, to talk to Him, to sing His praises, and to give to Him. Enjoy.
Good morning, church. Isn't it good to be worshiping together, even though we're apart? Our Bible reading today is Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 to 12. That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 to 12. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this amongst themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. May God add his understanding to his word today.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we're going to get stuck into the message for this morning. We actually get to start a series, Moments Leading to the Cross Might Have Been Given Away by the cross sitting on the stage. But you might have forgotten in all of the things that are going on that Easter is coming up. Only a few more weeks until Easter, and so we're having a series leading into Easter, and of course focusing on the things that led up to that, what Jesus was going through, the many things that took place. And we hope that through this series we'll get to see who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he understood what was happening, that everything that was taking place was for his glory and for our benefit, for us to be in relationship with him in a way that hadn't been expressed before. So we're going to go through this series, and we're going to be looking at Jesus, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. What we're going to notice is that during this time, they're all in control. That sounds a bit silly because we're in a world at the minute that seems completely out of control and crazy. But in this time, in this setting, God is still in control. We probably can't see it. We're fixed on so many other things, but he is still in control. It's a reason why this world's still spinning on the right axis and everything else. It is still being held in control. First story we're going to look at is from Matthew 16, verses 5 to 12, and it talks about, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and is talking about who you basically should and shouldn't listen to. Which again, during everything that's going on, there's plenty of that going around. Even just today, I was listening, reading on Facebook a bunch of false news that's being put out there. It was a bit scary to think it was so easily shared. Jesus is really, really making a point to his disciples, and really to us as we read God's word, that who we listen to at any given moment is important. And what we see is true and false, and how we define that is really, really important. Before we delve into this passage too far, we need to, of course, look at what's led to this. What has led to this moment where Jesus is getting a bit disappointed with his disciples that they're not thinking on the same wavelength he is? What has gotten Jesus to this point where it's really important? Right now, it's really important that the disciples know who he is and what he's all about. If we look back just a little bit in Matthew 15, from verse 32, you obviously look at this at home, it talks about miracles that Jesus is performing. It talks about people he's healing, talks about how he's looking after many, many people in a great crowd. People are seeing his power in action. They're realizing he's more than just a man, realizing he's more than just a little boy who was born in Bethlehem in a manger. He is much more than that. He really is the Son of God. You have people witnessing what it is that he is able to do, how he's able to manipulate the human body, something that he was a part of in creation, to be healed, to become whole again, and to live a life on earth. As these great, great crowds came together, one of the beautiful things is that in verse 32, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. And that's not an exaggeration at all. If you've been around for 3 days and you haven't had much to eat, you may well collapse. Jesus knows that it's time to move on to their next destination. They have to go across the lake on a boat, and they have to go to the next places to continue to spread the word of Jesus, and that is that he is the Son of God, and that we can have salvation through. As all this has taken place, and Jesus having compassion on the crowd, a big crowd, over 4,000 people, that time they would count in crowds, they would count the men and then pretty much double or triple that to allow for women and children as well. And it's important to realize that this isn't the only time that Jesus has provided loaves of bread and fish and fed thousands upon thousands of people. You can also go back into Matthew 14 from verse 13 and read how he feeds over 5,000 people. But again, he's doing it here in chapter 15. And so as they're getting the loaves together, the disciples say, well, we have 7 loaves and a few small fish. And that's distributed amongst the crowd, and they're all fed and they're full. And that's not just a by the way, oh gee, maybe they weren't that hungry. 3 days they had been there. They were hungry. This is another miracle. Jesus has been healing people, and now he's providing them. So he feeds them with just 7 loaves and a few fish. And they bring back 7 baskets full of leftover food. 7 baskets full. We don't know how big the baskets were, but you can imagine they weren't tiny little things. But probably a proper basket. So they bring back the leftovers. And again, through all of this, the disciples are seeing all of this. And surely in all of this, they're recognizing that, wow, he's working on another. He isn't just going to the takeaway and buying a stack of food for people and going, here you go, I've spent thousands of dollars. He is the food provider. No, he's working on a powerful spiritual level. He's able to manipulate everything that he has around him to fulfill our needs. So this shows that Jesus is the Son of God. These miracles are coming from a great place of love and compassion on his people, on us. This is where it comes to a really interesting point. Everything's happy at this stage. So why then, when they're on the boat, is there tension, is there frustration from Jesus towards his disciples? What's leading into that moment? Well, it's this small snippet. It's only a couple of verses. It's after he's fed over 4,000 plus people and they've picked up all the leftovers, and there's this small segment that can kind of easily be skimmed over, but it brings Jesus a lot of tension. It brings Jesus to the point where he wants to make sure his disciples know exactly the truth, who they should be listening to, what they should be taking on board. Because it introduces, again, they come in many times in the New Testament and in Jesus' story, introduces these guys, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. From chapter 16, verse 1, talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to see Jesus, and they're coming for a very specific reason. They've come to test him. It says in verse 1, they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Why? Jesus has just performed miracles. just done them in the last few days, they would have surely heard about them. They might have even been around to see them. They would have heard stories of what has happened. So what is it that they're looking for? What is it that they really wanted? What are these guys all about? So the Pharisees and Sadducees, they've already tested Jesus before. You go back to Matthew 12 in, verse 23, 12:23, you'll see that they've already tested him before. Jesus knows exactly what they're all about. Jesus knows what they're asking. What they're trying to find is a way to trip Jesus up. Trying to find a way to get him to do something that just isn't right for whatever reason they could find to call it not right. They're trying to find something that he does and they can say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. We're going to go to the government and we're going to declare that you've done something illegal. So Jesus gets a bit annoyed. And I think he has every right to be. He's a bit annoyed. And so instead of just creating something out of seemingly nothing, he decides to have a bit of a go. He wants them to know exactly who they are. He wants them to know exactly who he is. In these couple of verses, he delivers some great ones. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given. None will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. Seems like a very small altercation there, but really this is what Jesus is saying. Saying, Pharisees and Sadducees, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what's going on in this moment. You don't understand what's happening in these times. I am here not to entertain you, not to be bothered by you in really any way at all. Even as Jesus, we know, goes to the cross and they're a part of this story, they're not really a big deal in the story. That was happening regardless. That was already taking place. Jesus says you basically walk out, look up in the sky and go, I think the weather's going to do this. Just about anyone can try and make that sort of a prediction, and you talk to any farmer and they will tell you how they can wake up in the morning and tell you pretty much what the weather's going to do. They're much more reliable than my weather app or pretty much any other weather thing I've heard or seen. People can do that. We have the ability to do that. It doesn't take any special power to do that. What Jesus is trying to say to them is that he is here for more than that. He's here for more than being interrogated by what we call false teachers. Pharisees and Sadducees would label themselves as a religious authority, and really what they are is people after power. The reason they're really interrogating Jesus is because the government of the time didn't really like Jesus, didn't like what he was declaring, didn't understand it, but just didn't like it. And the Pharisees and Sadducees found their power under the government system. And so during this time, they are trying to make sure that they're not losing their livelihood because of Jesus. They're trying to show that he is false in some way, that he's a fraud, that everything he's doing is wrong. And he's not going to give them an ounce. He's not going to let them get under his skin at all. He's not going to let them distract from what he's meant to be doing. But what it does do, it does make sure that he really wants to make sure the disciples understand who it is that they're listening to. The disciples get distracted in any sense, in any way, with everything that's about to take place. But they might lose what they've been a part of. Jesus says to the Sadducees and Pharisees that a miraculous sign, but that none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. In that last verse there in verse 4, in the last part there. Sign of Jonah, really what it means is that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and came out proclaiming the name of Jesus, that salvation can come to those who need it. Jesus is going to be gone for 3 days, and he is going to come out declaring that he is defeated sin, Satan, and death. And salvation can be ours. That's what he means when he's talking about the sign of Jonah. What Jesus was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees was that he is the Son of God, and he is going to bring salvation, eternal salvation. Forget about having power on earth and things on earth. There is something greater to come. During COVID-19, I think that's a timely moment to remind everyone that there is something bigger than this world. There's something bigger for us. If we're in a relationship with Jesus, then we don't have to be as scared. We can be worried, we can be frustrated, we're still going to go through everything on this earth. But we know there's an eternity set for us. If you're listening this morning or watching this morning, I want you to know that that's there for you too. It's about following Jesus. It's about asking for forgiveness. You can certainly be in contact with us about that. So where are we? The Pharisees and Sadducees have tested Jesus, and Jesus has moved on, and now they're in the boat, they've crossed the lake, and the disciples have realized we made a bit of a mistake here. We forgot the supplies. We forgot the bread. Jesus moves into a bit of a story, a bit of an analogy. Says, be careful. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Bit of a weird thing for someone to say, and when you look at that word yeast, it's a bit of a strange term that we really wouldn't use today, and basically it is what you put in bread. The disciples discussed it, and they just figured Jesus realized exactly what they just realized. There was no bread around. So they basically apologized to this. Sorry, we didn't mean to upset you. We forgot the bread. We can maybe go into town and get some. He says, guys, this is not what I'm talking about. Didn't you just see? Before we crossed the lake, you remember how we just fed over 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish? If I want bread, I can get bread. If I want something to eat, I can just get something to eat. That's not the point. What he's trying to stress to his disciples is that it's time for them to be thinking on a higher level. It's time for them to be thinking about bigger things. Jesus knows that it's not too long before the persecution is going to start, before he's going to be arrested, before he's going to be put on the cross, before he's going to die and then come back to life. And during that time, especially those 3 days that he is dead, the disciples are going to need to know for sure that he truly is the Son of God. He takes this moment, he takes this teaching moment, and he decides to really make sure they understand. He wants them to not be filled of false teaching. So the yeast is what you put in bread to fill it up, to puff it up. He doesn't want them to be puffed up with false teaching. He wants them to be filled up with the truth of who God is, the truth of who he is as the Son of God. He wants them to understand that he is the real deal, that all of this isn't some sort of fairy tale, it's not all just magic, it's true, it's happening, it's real, and it's happening in this time. There's been prophecies of it for thousands of years, but this is actually the time, this is actually the moment. They've been journeying with him for a couple of years, but now is coming into the time. Now is the time coming when all these prophecies are going to be. There's a reason why we celebrate Easter even to this day. It's not a whimsical, oh, let's just celebrate something. No, this has been talked about for thousands of years before the event even takes place, as Jesus is here at the time it's happening, and obviously thousands of years after. Jesus really did die on the cross. He really did come back to life. He really did rise back into heaven. People saw it. People wrote it down. There was witnesses. Jesus wants to make sure that this time is coming, that his disciples know the truth of what he's about, and also the truth of what the enemy is about. The enemy will find many different tricky ways to sidetrack us, to find other things to focus on, to poke holes in the story of God. But it has lasted more than any person has ever. And it will continue to last. It will not stop, no matter what is going on in the world, it won't stop. It'll continue to spread. You'll find even during these times where we're not meant to be socializing too much or anything else, you will find there'll be stories. There'll be stories of people coming to Christ through online videos, through social media interaction, through emails, through phone calls, through random moments. The word of God will continue to spread. And his glory will continue to shine, even in the midst of some tough times. What we understand in this moment is that Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Just like he knows right now what's happening on this earth. Just like he's always known what's happening. It's part of his creation. Jesus knows what's taking place. He knows in this moment that we read of. He knows in the next stories we're going to read leading into the moment of him dying on the cross and rising again. He's in control. That could be hard to think of, especially during this time, but he truly is. He is in control. He understands what's happening. He knows what's happening. And in this moment, what he's saying in this passage is to be careful of your listening. Because there's going to be plenty of people out there right now today saying, well, if this is happening, then truly God isn't real. Then truly he hates us. Well, that's counter to everything we have of who God is, of who Jesus is, of who the Holy Spirit is. It's completely counter to all of those things that we know. There have been people being persecuted for following Christ for forever. We look at many different nations and find times in their life where they've been getting killed and slaughtered for believing in God. We're not going to stop believing in God. We're not going to stop believing in his word. We're not going to stop believing that he's in control. Instead, we're going to take this time to glorify him more, to praise him more, to love him more, to get to know him more and to be his witnesses even more. I'm completely convicted that he's real. He's impacted my life in such a way that there's no other way to explain. I pray for you that that's been your experience. If it hasn't, I pray that it will. If you're listening to this morning, watching this today, and you want to know more of him, then please contact. Still contactable. The world isn't completely shut down. Please talk to us, email, Facebook message, call, whatever it is. We want to make sure that you know who this Jesus is. We want to make sure that you know who to listen to and who to avoid. We want you to be filled of the things of God and not just of the things of this world. Jesus really is the Son of God. He's our Savior, he's the Redeemer, he's the way to an eternal life in a perfect new world. And he wants you to know that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for everything you've done in this world. We thank you for your word, that we get to continue to look at it. It hasn't disappeared, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. I want to thank you that even in this scenario, we can continue to have your word spread throughout the world. That we can share with friends and family and anyone we might be in contact with. That those that are sick and in isolation can watch this at home. We pray for the state of the world. Obviously we pray for a vaccine and for people to be well, but we also pray for just the moral attitude of people. And ultimately we pray that all of this will lead people to you. To understand that the things we hold on to in this earth are finite and not eternal, but you are. And what you have in store for us is, Lord. Pray that we'll cling to it and we'll learn more about it each day. Amen. Just to be, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. The God of all grace who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast to be the power forever and ever. I just wanted to let you know that this has been a week of disappointment. It's certainly been a week in which making decisions and leading the church has been a real struggle for us. We had hoped that we would be able to put into place some modified ministry opportunities for the church, and we'd been working towards those. We had hoped that we'd be able to record our Sunday services in front of a live audience, albeit
a much smaller audience. Our hope was that we would invite one or two of our home groups to come and join with a limited music team on a Sunday and be able to do worship. That opportunity through this week has been taken away from us. Our other hope was that on Wednesday night we would be able to have a music practice and use that time to record some more songs and some more hymns so that you could see a live music team presenting songs for you. Once again, with the developments of the week, that we were advised that wasn't a wise thing to do. Every day has been a new challenge for us here at the church. And I think in reality, most days have brought with them a sigh and a thought, here we go again. What's the next thing that we have to deal with? But through it all, we have endeavoured to keep the main things in place. And I hope that you're really seeing that. Our hope is that we will stay connected as a church. We had a pastoral care leadership team meeting, and the heart of that was to make sure that everyone stays contacted. Can I encourage you to be one of those people who is making contact with others? Top of that, we had an Ellipsis team ministry looking at how we could support ministry in this difficult time. So it has been a week of disappointment. But what we are discovering is that as a church, we are holding strong. And we look forward to bringing these presentations to you each week and to inform you just the way in which the church is at work. We look forward to talking again next week.